So Acts chapter 2, verses 23 to 24. This is a sermon that was preached at Pentecost on the birthday of the church. And some of you will know that later on there will be a celebration in Santa Maria, the launch day of a new church plant. And so it seems appropriate for us as a church that is supporting that work and that ministry in Santa Maria to come and to see what this sermon is all about. And as our brother has already given the game away, it's all about Jesus. Well, sinasabi nga, ang pinakamagandang balita na narinig ng buong mundo ay nagmula sa libingan. Ang lugar na katalasa'y inuugnay sa pighati at kalungkutan ay sa panahon ng bumangon mula sa patay ang Panginoon Hesukristo, kung saan naganap ang pinakatakilang pagyayari sa buong kasaysayan, at ito nga ang ating ipinagdiriwang sa araw na ito, 2,000 years ang nakalipas. Siya ay ipinako at walang awa na pinatay sa cross ng Kalbaryo ng Biyernes Santo, at pagkalipas ng tatlong araw ay bumangon mula sa mga patay ng Linggo ng Pagkabuhay. And as I say, that is why we've come to celebrate today on this Easter Sunday morning, to rejoice in the fact that we serve a risen, living Savior. Marahil naaalala pa ninyo kung nasaan kayo nang una ninyong marinig ang mga balita na maaaring bumago sa kasaysayan. Maaaring isang terrorist attack, isang kilalang personalidad na biglang namatay at iba pa. Maybe you remember where you were when you heard about September the 11th, or where you were when you heard about some major tragedy dito sa Pilipinas. Well, bilang Kristiyano, madalas nating iniisip na ang Pasko, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, kung saan si Jesus ay dumating sa mundo bilang isang sanggol sa Bethlehem, ang pinakamalaking kaganapan sa buong kasaysayan. Ngunit, para sa inyong kaalaman, ang Linggo ng Pagkabuhay ang pinakamalaking kaganapan. Easter Sunday is the main event. Ang naganap sa mahal na araw, Holy Week, kung saan si Jesus ay namatay sa cross at bumangon mula sa libingan sa araw ng muling pagkabuhay, ang pinakamalaking pangyayari sa buong kasaysayan. Ipinagdiriwang natin ang Pasko dahil sa Pasko ng pagkabuhay. Tingnan ninyo, kung si Jesus ay naging tao, ipinamalas ang mga himala, nangaral at nagturo, kung si at pagkatapos ay namatay sa cross, at ito na ang wakas ng magandang balita, ito ba ay matatawag na maganda o mabuti? It's not good news if Jesus dies on a cross and that is the end of the story, di ba? Ayon sa unang Korinto, kabanatang 15, talatang 17, kung si Kristo ay hindi binuhay, walang kabuluhan ang inyong pananampalataya, nananatili pa rin kayo sa inyong kasalanan. As our brother reminded us earlier, without the resurrection, then we have no hope. Ang kagandahan ng Ebanghelyo ay nakasalaylay sa kaganapan sa Linggo ng Pagkabuhay. It's an important day, a beautiful day for us as Christian believers to rejoice in the events of the resurrection of Christ. Sa katotohanan, ito ay higit pa bilang isang pangyayari na ginugunita natin isang beses sa isang taon. Ito ay dapat na ipagdiwang sa araw-araw ng ating buhay. Because you see, Jesus rose And that is in the past tense. We rejoice in that, don't we? Jesus rose. It's a historical fact. But even more so, we don't just say that Jesus rose, but we say that Jesus is risen. Present tense. We come today to worship a Savior who did not just rise from the dead, but a Savior who is living today. He is not just some famous figure of the past who achieved something great, but He is a living Savior who continues day by day to rule and to reign, to speak and to save, to come and to save sinners like you and me. Jesus is not just a great figure of the past, but a great Savior of the present.
Kahit sa sandaling ito, siya na bumangon mula sa libingan sa Jerusalem noong unang siglo, ang Panginoon Jesus ay buhay hanggang ngayon, 21st century. At ang mensahe na ipinangaraw ni Pedro sa Pentecost noon ay ang mensahe na nais kong ipahayag sa inyo ngayong araw. Ang mensahe ng buhay sa pamamagitan ni Kristo. Buhay sa pamamagitan ni Kristo. So buksan ninyo ang inyong mga Biblia sa ating teksto, mga Gawa, Kabanata 2, 23-24. Sa mga talatang ito, nakatala ang simula ng iglesia. As I've said, this is the birthday of the church. Kung nais ninyo malaman ang unang iglesyang naitagtag, makikita natin ito sa Acts 2, 7 linggo pagkatapos na pagbangon ng Panginoon Jesus. Ito ay napakahalagang passage para sa atin ngayon. Una, dahil Resurrection Sunday, syempre naman, that's why we want to study this passage. Ngunit, pangalawa, as I've said already, dahil mamayang hapon sa Santa Maria, Bulacan, magbubunsod ang unang service para sa pagsilang ng isang bagong church plant. Hindi pa kami hinihirang bilang official church, ngunit ito ang aming unang hakbang patungo dito, kagaya ng makikita nating mangyayari sa ating talatang ngayon. Si Pedro ay tumindig upang mangaral at mula dito, isang iglesia ang isisilang. At sa katunayan, sa dulo ng passage, mababasa ang ilang malalaking kaganapan. Una, 3,000 souls ang nakapakinig at dali-dali ay nagbago, nabautismuhan at tinanggap sa iglesia bilang miyembro. Ikalawa, sila ay mga miyembro na itinatalaga ang kanilang sarili sa palagiang pagtitipon upang sumamba at maglilingkod. At ikatlo, ang Diyos ay patuloy na pinagpapala ang bagong congregation. Anong kagalakan na makita at maranasan ngayon? Ang ganitong kaganapan dito sa Pilipinas, bunga ng isang pangangaral sa muling pagkabuhay.
What a wonderful thing it would be to witness a revival through the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mga kaibigan, lakasan natin ang ating loob. Ang Diyos ay patuloy na itinatatag ang Kanyang iglesia kahit sa mas simple at abang paraan kaysa makikita natin sa Acts chapter 2. Si Jesus ay buhay at patuloy na naliligtas ng makasalanan, magtatag ng iglesia at magpahala ng mga gawain sa simbahan. Anong pribilehiyo para sa atin na maging kabahagi ng planong ito? And so tingnan natin ang verses 23 hanggang 24 at isaalang-alang ang nilalaman ng pangangaral ni Pedro in two simple stages. Una, ang soberanong plano ng Diyos. Ikalawa, ang nasirang kapangyarihan ng kamatayan.
Or in English, God's sovereign plan followed by death's broken power. That's the outline for the message this morning. Because God truly does have a plan, even in a world such as this. And what a privilege to know that death's power has been broken. As we've been singing together this morning, just as Christ rose, so we will rise if we are in Jesus Christ.
Naipakilala na ni Pedro ang persona ni Jesus sa mga tagapakinig. Pansinin ninyo ang verse 22. Hindi niya tinawag si Kristo bilang anak ng Diyos, ngunit bilang Jesus ng Nazareno.
It seems a little bit of a strange way to begin verse 24. Of all of the names that he could have used to describe the person of Jesus, he chooses this,
Jesus ng Nazareno. Nababatid niyo na ang pangalan Jesus ay isa ng pangkaraniwang pangalan sa panahong ito. At para malaman ang kaibahan ng isang Jesus mula sa iba, ang bawat isa ay bibigyan ng apelyido nan ayon sa kanilang pagkakaugnay, sa kanilang ama o pinanggalingan bayan. Ngunit, nais ni Pedro na ipabatid sa mga nakikinig na itong Jesus ng Nazareno ay higit dito.
He's so much more than just a man who came from Nazareth.
Kung makikita ninyo, ilan sa kanila ay nakikita si Jesus isang ordinaryong mamamayan ng Nazareth. Ngunit itinuwid ni Pedro ang pagkakamaling ito sa katunayan, siya ay isang tao na pinagtibay ng Diyos. Ibig sabihin, ang kanyang pagka-Diyos ay pinatunayan. Siya ang nag-iisa at natatangin tunay ng anak ng Diyos. Ang kanyang mga himala, mga tanda at mga kababalaghan ang
Brother Kevin was the one who translated this morning, so medyong mahirap, medyong malalim.
Ang kanyang mga himala, mga tanda at mga kababalaghan ang paghinahon sa bagyo, ang pagbukas ng mata ng bulag, pagpapagaling ng kitongin at kahit ang pagbuhay sa patay. Ang lahat ng ito ay nagawa hindi bilang isang mamamayan ng Nazareth, ngunit sa pamamagitan ng Diyos na lumika at nagpapanatili ng buong kalawakan.
Peter is dealing with a hostile crowd. It's not the kind of congregation that I would particularly enjoy preaching to. They're a hostile crowd.
Habang sila ay nagtitipon sa taunang pagdiriwang ng Pentecost, 50 days pagkatapos ng pista ng Paskua, na sa panahong si Jesus ay ipinakanulo, dinakip, ipinako sa cross at inilibing. Oo, walang duda na may mga lalaki rito sa kalagitnaan ng mga tao sa Pentecost ng Jerusalem ay naroon din sa Paskua na isinisigaw, ipako siya sa cross, crucify him. Inuudyukan dito si Pedro na ipahayag sa verse 23,
this Jesus, the one that he's introduced us to in his previous words in this sermon, he says, this Jesus, the one who was from Nazareth and yet was the Son of God and Lord of Lords and King of Kings, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men.
Bago ang magandang balita ng biyaya, kailangan nating harapin ang masamang balita ng kasalanan. Makikita ninyo, hindi layunin ni Pedro na makipagkaibigan.
He's not trying to win friends and influence people.
Inilaan niya ang kanyang puso sa pagpapahayag ng Ebanghelyo, magalit man o hindi ang tagapaginig.
He doesn't care what the response will be. He will be a faithful proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like all true preachers ought to be. And yet, even though on a human level, we could say that wicked men were responsible for the death of Christ, and that is true, on a divine level, on that vertical scale, it was always God's sovereign plan. And so we see these things coming into focus in this verse. The combination of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. We see the fact that men were the ones who crucified Christ, and yet Christ was in control. God had a sovereign plan in everything.
Sa isang silid ay di mapakali ang batang lalaki, kaya inabot ng kanyang nanay ang isang libro para basahin at malibang. Ngunit ilang saglit pa, napansin niya ang malungkot na muka ng kanyang anak habang tinitingnan ang interpretation ng artist kay Jesus na nasa cross. At sinabi ng anak sa kanyang ina, kung naroon lamang ang Diyos, hindi niya hahayaan na mangyari iyon kay Jesus.
If God was here, this would never have happened to Jesus.
Ngunit mga kaibigan, ang magandang balita ay naroon ang Diyos. At hindi lamang niya pinahintutulan ito, ngunit makapangyarihan niya itong itinakda. Iniisip ninyo, marahil, akala ko na ang verse na ito ay sinisisi ang mga masasamang tao. Akala ko ito ay kasalanan ni Judas, Pilato, mga pinuno ng Hudyo at ang mga Romanong tagabitay.
I thought this was the responsibility of men who crucified Jesus.
And lahat ng ito ay totoo. Ngunit, sa kabuuan ang Diyos pa rin ang may akta sa kwento. Hindi kailanman pinabayaan ng Diyos ang kanyang soberanong plano.
Sa verse 23,
pinaratangan ni Pedro ang mga tao sa Pentecost, siya'y pinakonyo sa cross at pinatay. Ito ang sinisigaw ng mga tao noon sa Jerusalem. Sa pagpapatuloy habang tinitingnan natin ang soberanya ng Diyos, hindi winawalang bahala ni Pedro ang kapanagutan ng tao,
the human responsibility.
Nais niyang ipabatid sa kanila na kahit na ang Diyos ang may control, mananagot pa rin sa krimen ang mga makasalanan. Kailangan ba nilang bugbugin at koronahan ng tinik at alipustahin siya? Hindi. Nakikita ninyo, mayroong kamangamangang balintunay, a paradox dito. Sinasabi ng iba, dahil hawak naman ng Diyos ang lahat, di tayo mananagot sa kung anuman. Ang iba naman, kung tayo ang responsible, marahil malayo ang Diyos. Ngunit itong passage ang patunay sa katotohanan na kahit na soberano ang Diyos sa kahihinatnan, sabay rin namang responsible ang sangkatauhan sa kanyang ikikilos. Naalala ko, nung panahong may ginagawang mali ang nakababata kong kapatid na babae, sa kanyang murang edad na 3 years old, ay kanyang ipinagtanggol ang sarili, "But Daddy and Mommy, I can't help it. It's the sin within me." And my boys have said something to that effect as well. In other words, excusing themselves to say, "Well, Dad, you can't hold me responsible because there is sin within my heart." And we love that, the theology of the young children, but what they fail to understand is human responsibility. And so here's a message, isn't it, for the parents in the room. Don't just teach your children about God's sovereignty, but also about their responsibility. Well, so it is with this crowd. What they needed, like a father teaching theology to their children, they needed Peter to directly confront their crimes. But that is not all he says. Now notice how Peter calls an expert witness to the stand. He's given the prosecution, "You killed Jesus. You are responsible for the murder of Christ himself." But now he calls a witness to the stand, and none other than God the Father. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God.
Sa mababaw na pagtingin, isa itong malaking trahedya at pagkatalo. Ang pagkapako ni Kristo ay hindi isang pagkakamali.
This is no unplanned events. The cross, it does not sneak up on Jesus and catch him off guard. But it was always there in the eternal plan of God, in the covenant of redemption. Before the foundations of the world were laid, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit gathered together and formed an agreement, a covenant, a promise that they would save a people through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Bago pa ang panimula ng mundo, ang Ama, Anak at Espiritu Santo ay gumawa ng magpasawalang hanggang kasunduan na maganap ang mga pangyayarang ito. Nakikita ba ninyo, walang ibang paraan upang ang mga makasalanan ay makipagkasundo sa isang banal na Diyos kung wala si Kristo. Tanging si Kristo lamang ang may kakayahang paglapitin ang puwang na humihiwalay sa atin. Ipinaparating ni Pedro sa mga tao sa Pentecost na ang plano ng kaligtasan ay nagmula pa sa nakalipas ng na walang hanggan. Ang Diyos ang punong utak. Nang si Adan at Eva ay nakasala sa hardin ng Eden at inilubog ang buwang sangkatauhan sa kaaba-abang kalagayan kung saan tayo ay nasasadlak ngayon. Hindi nabigla o nagulat ang Diyos. Ang pangakong siya'y magsusugo ng tagapagligtas upang sila'y sagipin ay hindi isang plan B. Dahil hindi nagtagumpay ang una niyang plano. Hindi. Bago pa man tayo makasuliranin, ang Diyos ay may tugon. Ang Ama ang nagtakta ng kamatayan ng kanyang anak. Buwang kusa niyang inalay siya sa altar ng cross bilang sakripisyo para sa mga makasalanang katulad mo at ako. Inyong tandaan na si Pedro ay hindi nangangaral ng mensahe na hindi niya naranasan. Lubos niyang nauunawaan ang pangangailangan ng mga tao sa Jerusalem sapagkat kailangan niya rin ito. Tingnan ninyo sa bawat pagpapahayag ng Ebanghelyo ng mga ngaral, pinapangaral niya muna ito sa kanyang sariling puso. Lubos nating nababatid na tayo ay mga makasalanang kailangan ng tagapagligtas kagaya mo. Isipin niyo kung anong klaseng tao si Pedro noon. Isa sa 12 disciple ni Kristo, ang pinakamadaldal at masimbuyo or impulsive sa kanilang lahat. Sa katunayan nga, nang sinabi ni Jesus na siya ay ipakakanulo, tumugon agad si Pedro. Talikuran man kayo ng lahat, hinding-hindi ko kayo tatalikuran. Ngunit, anong nangyari sa panahon ng kamatayan ni Jesus? Ipinangkanulo ni Pedro si Jesus ng 3 beses. He denies his own Savior, the one who had come into the world and chosen him to be one of his followers. He denies him in his darkest hour. He abandons his own Savior, though he had promised he never would. Itinakwil niya ang kanyang tagapagligtas. Ngunit, notice dito sa mga gawa, kabanata 2, narito si Pedro na muli tumintindig upang ipahayag ang Ebanghelyo sa pinakamalaking tanghalan na maiisip mo, isa sa hindi pangkaraniwang sandali ang kabanganakan ng Iglesia. Ito ang nagpapatunay walang sinuman ang masyadong masama para gamitin ng Diyos.
Ginagamit ng Diyos ang mga taong simple, mahina at kapintas-pintas upang ihayag ang magandang balita ng Ebanghelyo.
And there is hope for you, as there is certainly hope for me today, that though we are weak by nature, that we are failures, though we have let God down more times than we can count, God can use us, and God has a plan to advance the message of the gospel even through people like you and me.
At ang katotohanan ito ay nagbibigay ng lakas ng loob sa akin bilang mangangaral na mahina kong maituturin. Ngunit mga kaibigan, kayo ba ay nahikayat? Kayo ba ay nakumbinse ng liwanag ng Ebanghelyo na ang Diyos ay may soberanong plano sa lahat? Siya ay pumapagitan sa lahat ng kaganapan sa ating mundo, lalo na sa occasion na tinatawag nating Good Friday. Good dahil bahagi ito ng plano ng Diyos.
Sometimes you get those questions, and my boys were asking me just recently, Daddy, why do we call it Good Friday if it's all about the death of a perfect man? And it's hard to understand, isn't it, unless we see the spiritual significance of the cross. You see, it's not the wood of the cross, it's the work of the cross that saves us. And therefore, we must focus our attention on what Jesus was doing. And when we have understood, when we have grasped the gravity of Christ's love for us to come down into this world and to live the life that we could never have lived and to die the death that we deserve, then we understand, don't we, friends, why it is called a Good Friday. In fact, that's such an understatement, isn't it? I think we should call it something like Amazing Friday or Indescribable Friday, because good just doesn't seem to cut it. Corrie ten Boom, an old Christian lady of the past, once said this. She said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest.
Mga kaibigan, maaari ko ba kaba kayong hikayatin ngayon na muling tanungin ang inyong tingin sa Diyos?
Focus your eyes upon Christ this morning. As our brother said, today we will be hearing about Jesus Christ. Well, don't look at the struggling preacher as he tries his very best to speak in a language that is most understandable to you. See Jesus Christ. See Christ as He hangs upon the cross and He rises from the tomb. See Jesus Christ, the only one who can save you from your sins.
Huwag kayong mabagabag at malumbay sa mga punong balita na kung minsan ay tila isang walang hintong listahan ng masasamang balita. Lumapit kay Kristo, pakinggan ang magandang balita, pagmasdan ang soberanong plano ng Diyos. At ika'y makakaroon ng kapahingahan. Ang lahat ng bagay ay nakatala sa makapangyarihan pagsasalaylay ng Diyos. Sa gitna ng pighati at dusa, ang Diyos ay may ginagawang malulwalhati.
And that's a great comfort, isn't it, for you and me this morning, to know that God is on the throne, that God is in control, that God has a sovereign plan, not just over the small details of your life, but over salvation itself. Because, friends, there is no salvation without the cross. But I want us to move on now to verse 24 and to our final point. Having seen something of God's sovereign plan, consider secondly death's broken power. Death's broken power. But God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. You might have heard of a famous sculptor. His name is Michelangelo. not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, no, the guy who sculpted those impressive statues and paintings and things like that, that Michelangelo. Well, apparently on one occasion, he turned to his fellow artists and he said this. He said, "Why do you keep filling gallery after gallery with endless pictures on the one theme of Christ on the cross hanging dead? Why do you concentrate on the passing episode as if it were the last work? As if it all ended in disaster and defeat." He goes on, "That scene lasted for just a few hours, but for the rest of eternity, Christ is alive. Christ is triumphantly risen, ruling and reigning." That's a great statement, isn't it?
Tama siya. Kung natapos ang Holy Week sa Good Friday, ito ay magiging nakalulupaypay na kapanuhunan ng taon.
But praise God, papuri sa Diyos, 3 days later, the victim becomes the victor. In fact, I don't even like calling him a victim, because as we've seen in our first point, it was the sovereign plan of God, wasn't it? All the way through, Christ is victorious. He's never lost control. And it's one of the reasons that two of the main symbols of the time of Easter are an empty cross and an empty tomb. I love when you see a picture of the cross and there's no image of Jesus fixed upon it, because it is, isn't it? An empty cross. Christ is no longer dead. And I love even more that you see the empty tomb with the stone rolled away, because that tomb is not occupied by a Savior who came and lived a good life and preached some good moral messages and then is now just a thing of the past. But that tomb is empty. Jesus has risen. He's ascended. He's in glory. He's a living Savior. And so don't stop at Good Friday. Move on to Easter Sunday. And for all eternity, rejoice in the fact that Easter is just the beginning of that new life that you can have through His resurrection. Christ is not on the cross or in the tomb anymore. He's traded it all for a throne in heaven. And we gather today, don't we, to worship a God who lives. We come before a risen, conquering King. That is the focus of our gathering today, is it not, brothers and sisters? You know, I heard of a man, he used to attend a church, and he became increasingly frustrated with the message. And on the way out of the church, he stopped to speak to the pastor, and he said to him, "Pastor, you really have to do something about your sermons, because you speak about the same topic every time I come to church." And the preacher says, "Well, that's because you only come on Easter Sunday." But you see, friends, that is the reality, is it not? Many people, they turn up to church, they sing God's praises when it suits them on special days of the year. But the reality is, if that man continued to come, he would have heard the whole counsel of God. We need the local church, friends. Don't be a once-er. Once a year, or twice a year, if you come on Christmas Day as well. Come regularly. Come week by week. Sit under the Word of God and hear the whole counsel of God. And then you won't have such a reaction as that man did. Friends, the resurrection is central to our faith. In fact, it is not only the main theme of apostolic teaching through the book of Acts, but also it is without question the climax of redemptive history. All of the Old Testament is pointing forwards, not just to the arrival and to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but it's also pointing to this glorious day that we celebrate today. Easter Sunday. Christ is alive. No resurrection, no hope. Walang pagkabuhay, walang pag-asa. Just look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep." Our friends, the hope of Easter is the hope that just as Jesus lives, we also can live forever and fully because of the power of God. God will make us alive together with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 was the passage that I preached to you this time last year on Easter Sunday. But God raised him up and is seated in the heavenly places. But God, thank God for divine intervention. Praise the Lord that He did not leave us in our sin, but He sent a Savior to rescue us. And as He rose, so you will rise. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. There's no resurrection apart from Jesus Christ. There's no eternal life. Jesus does more than just give life to us. He is life. And that is why death has no power over Him. Or as far as humans are concerned, when one of your friends or your family members, they die, well, they stay dead, don't they? It's one of the reasons why we grieve. If we knew that they would come back again in a few years' time, we might be able to cope with the event, but knowing that they are gone is a real struggle, is it not? Grief is real. But praise God that it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. Death could not hold Him. The grave could not keep Him. He was a victorious Savior. It is impossible, friends, for you and I to raise from the dead, but Jesus Christ is raised, and therefore you and I will rise. Now, you know that word when it says hold. Death could not hold Him. That is a reference to the strength of death. Death is too strong for you and me. But Jesus broke the curse. Jesus broke the strong grip of death. It's why we'll go on to sing in our final hymn, Death Cannot Keep Its Prey. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. When I think of that part of the hymn, He tore the bars away. I think, and I imagine if, for example, you commit a crime, and the penalty of that crime is a prison sentence. Because you have committed that crime, and that crime has not been paid for, well, prison has a hold on you. It will hold you behind its bars. But you know there's often a day that comes for prisoners, the most exciting day of all, the day of their release. And on that day of release, the debt has been paid, and therefore prison no longer has a hold on them. Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, that was essentially God's way of saying, not only has Christ paid the debt, but everyone who believes on Christ, well, they will rise with Him. Death cannot keep them. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Death has lost its sting. And so when a Christian is dead, he's not buried really, is he? I'd much prefer the phrase, they're planted. Christians are planted. In other words, after much time, the Christian believer at the end, when Christ returns in glorious splendor, they will rise with Him. They've been planted and now they will bloom. They will be resurrected at the end. And so, friends, I want to remind you today, don't miss the sovereignty of God in the resurrection. God planned the life. He planned the death. He raised Christ for eternity. And how do we know that the death of Jesus fulfilled God's redemptive plan? Because God did not just let Him stay dead. The resurrection of Jesus is God's receipt to affirm that Jesus has paid it all. And so, friends, let us be reminded of these wonderful truths on this Easter Sunday. The first time that Easter was ever preached was at the day of Pentecost. On the birthday of the church, the resurrection is the focus. And so what a great day to plant a church, would you not say? What a great day
to see God's kingdom and God's gospel being extended. And this sermon is great. It's a blueprint for every preacher. Why is that? Well, because it's all about the gospel, isn't it? It's all about God's sovereignty over lost sinners like you and me. In verse 22, we have the incarnation. In verse 23, we have the crucifixion. And in verse 24, we have the resurrection. And yet the greatest proof of all is that Jesus is the Messiah. Not in his teaching, his miracles, even in his death, but he proves it through his resurrection. That is the main theme of Peter's sermon. And so, friends, you're not here this morning by accident. You didn't just stumble into church because you felt like that's probably the right thing to do on Easter Sunday. But you are here today by divine appointment. You are here today because God has put you here for a reason. And he wants you to know that the Word became flesh, the perfect one was killed, the crucified one rose from the dead, and the seated one is coming back again. That's what this verse is all about. It's tracing the incarnation to the resurrection, and therefore we think even further on, don't we? We think about his coming again. But God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Friends, have you died with Christ this morning? Have you died with Christ? Well, if so, his resurrection resurrects us. Through the events of Easter Sunday morning, each of us can be made alive together with him. God is sovereign. Death is defeated. Sa Dios ang tunay na papuri at karangalan. Amen. Manalangin po tayo. Great God and Heavenly Father, we praise you for the events of Good Friday, where you came and you died a death that we should have died. But Lord, we thank you even more so for the events of Easter Sunday, that you rose from the grave, eternally triumphant over sin and death and hell. And Father, we thank you for what hope that gives to each of us as believers in Jesus Christ. We thank you that because he rose, we will rise. Thank you that because you are sovereign in the plan of redemption, you continue to be sovereign through the details of our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that we would commit our lives to you today, that you would save us from our sins, that this Easter Sunday would be memorable because we have seen Christ, believed in Christ, and followed after him. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for the gift of salvation. Please plant it in our souls this day. By your sovereign grace and mercy, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.